morning and welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 FM WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Andy Morrison, and each week we focus on a topic that's important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Bank in Washington and in Lagodi. And I've got, I think, an important topic for today. We are just coming off of the National Weather Service's Severe Weather Preparedness Week. And so we've got a couple of members of the Daviess County Emergency Management Agency in. And we'll start here with Director, Mr. Scott Myers. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we've got the Assistant Director way back there in the corner. Good morning, Paul Goss.
Good morning.
All right. Well, we'll just start off here. And Scott, we'll start with you. A little bit of a background about yourself and how you came to be the Emergency Management Agency Director for Daviess County.
On approximately 30 years ago or so, I was working in the sheriff's department as a dispatcher. Served a short term as a deputy, road deputy, and got out and went into the private sector and had a 30-year stint with a local company here in town. During that time, 25 years of it, I spent as Paul's deputy director. So I've experienced quite a bit when Paul has decided to step down and semi-retire.
There he is, though.
Yes. Well, can't get rid of a good thing.
That's right.
Then I took over as the director in that position and been serving about 10 months now.
Okay. So you guys have just recently more or less just kind of switch jobs.
Basically switch the roles.
Okay, yes. Very good. And Paul, how about a little background on yourself? You've been in this community for a long time as well.
Yes, we moved here in 1976, and I worked for the school corporation. And during that time, I was a member of the Indian Army National Guard, and I finished my 22 years with the National Guard in 1988. And I felt like my involvement in the community had not ceased just because I'd accomplished one goal of the 22 years with the Army National Guard. So the emergency management director role opened, and I applied, and I got it in about 27 years ago, I think it's been.
Wow.
So I was full-time, part-time, had all the responsibilities, but wasn't working full-time. And then about 8 years ago, I think it was, we went to full-time when I retired from the school corporation. And Scott's been with me for all those years. And so we switched roles when I thought it was time to have new leadership.
So you didn't have to do a whole lot of training then, I guess.
Absolutely none. He'd been specialized in several different fields within the agency, and then he just stepped up and picked up what he hadn't been doing, and has been doing that ever since June.
All right, very good. Scott, for those that may not know, describe a typical day, and I know there's no such thing really, but because it depends on what's going on. But
yes.
So what does the Emergency Management Agency Director of a county like Daviess County, what are your responsibilities?
Generally, we serve a lot of committees. We have a lot of meetings that we attend. Then during severe weather events, then we're constantly monitoring those events. But a typical non-weather day, it's just I check in first thing when I walk in, check in with the what we call the Web EOC, which is a direct link to the State Emergency Operations Center. Check to see if there's anything going on that pertains to our area that I don't know about that may not be directly related to Daviess County. Check weather forecast, because even if it may not be bad today, I still check the forecast for the upcoming days to see what's going on. Like I say, attending several community events and meetings that transpire during a week's time.
So really, but you're always looking ahead. You always can't really get behind.
Yes, always planning ahead.
You go. Well, once something that you're made aware of, and again, it may not be directly related to Daviess County. In some cases, it may be how Daviess County can help someone else. But what changes in your department once an event is either known about or happens?
We start out with monitoring it at the local level to see if it's going to affect our community. After that, then we offer, if it's in a surrounding county, we'll offer our assistance. We work quite well on the district level, that if it's somewhere in our district, we will be sure and assist in any way we can to help those, and in turn they will come and help us if we have an event.
So a lot of it's a relationship building and making sure everybody knows what you can offer and what they can offer and how you can help each other.
Keep the bridges flowing.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Well, we're going to kind of change gears a little bit and get into the weather side of things. Of course, we are just wrapping up this week as the National Weather Service Severe Weather Preparedness Week. And we've been talking about it all week. And of course, I saw a stat recently from the National Weather Service that the average number of tornadoes in Indiana is 20. And according to the stats that they released, Indiana had 29 tornadoes in Indiana last year. And recently, Dave Tusek, who is the National Weather Service meteorologist in Indianapolis, he mentioned in passing, and again, we'd have to see how accurate this really was, but he claimed that Daviess County had the most tornadoes in Indiana last year. And
we had in Daviess County last year alone, about this time last year, had three tornadoes that struck South Washington area and the Montgomery area. They were small in size, EF1 and EF2 rated, but still cause damage. Just because they're on the low end of the scale doesn't mean that they can't cause damage.
Yes, I'm fully aware of that.
Yes.
we here at the radio station had one of those go through, 4 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Going on 4 years, and even though it was a right on the verge between a zero and a one, we had quite a bit of damage to clean up.
Yes.
So indeed, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, I thought the windows here probably have experienced quite well.
Yeah, they're all brand new, which is nice, Okay, let's talk a little bit about the National Weather Service and all of their information. They really stress preparation. And let's talk a little bit about how important it is in our local area to be prepared for severe weather.
Well, it's extremely important, as you know, we should be aware. The preparedness is how you are able to have a plan in your home or your school or your place of business. It keeps you from being panicked at the last moment. And we are fortunate now that we are able to look out 3 or 4 days ahead with somewhat certainty of what's going to be coming our way. If you look at what it looked like on Wednesday, it looked a lot different on Thursday. You know, we had all kinds of snow on Wednesday of this week, but on Thursday it was sunshiny. So the things do change quite rapidly, but we are aware, and there's all kinds of ways to find out what the situation is around you. But situation awareness is the key to being prepared, so that sometimes they will drop out of the sky. You're not aware of it if you haven't already been made aware of it.
Now, are there some places out there, and maybe the Red Cross or the National Weather Service, are there places where you can go that will have basically just a hit list of things that you should have ready? Or if people are looking to put together this kind of emergency kit, any suggestions on where someone may go to find that?
There's very easily, readily information for putting together kits. FEMA, Red Cross, the Weather Service all have websites that have information on what to put in these kits. Basically, you want food and water for at least 3 days, because the power in a bigger situation could be off for 3 days or more.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have your medications with you if you have to leave your home, and you want to have batteries for your flashlights, and you need to first aid kits, extra clothing, because depending on the time of the season, it could be cool after the weather front goes through, so you need to be prepared for that. Have your cell phone charged is a big thing. If you know weather's coming, charge that cell phone so you'll have it, because if you lose power, you may not have the option to to charge it back up easily.
One of the things I hadn't really thought about is if you've got pets, you really need to prepare for them as well, because they're going to be right there with you for 3 days. And if all of your dog and cat food is somewhere else, they're not going to be very happy with you.
Yes, it is recommended to have extra pet supplies as well, and plenty of bottled water to take care of your pet and yourself.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Well, we're on Focus on the Community this morning, and we're talking with the Daviess County Emergency Management folks. Mr. Scott Myers and Mr. Paul Goss are in the studio this morning talking with us about Severe Weather Preparedness Week. And we're going to kind of change gears just a little bit. There's a lot of confusion if there is a severe thunderstorm, or if there is a, heaven forbid, a tornado, or even some flooding. Of course, we get a lot of flooding in our area. And you hear the term, you know, move to a safe shelter. What do they mean by that? What really constitutes a safe shelter? I know it's different for each event, but
For a tornado situation, safe shelter would be a hardened shelter, concrete walls, no windows. That can be, you know, even going in the basement, lower level, that is a safe environment. But, and they have manufactured facilities that you can put in ground and have a safe shelter. But mainly a concrete thick walls would be considered a safe shelter.
And I'm sure that in your experience, you have seen things where a shelter like that has saved someone's life, or heaven forbid, the vice versa, where they should have been, they were where they shouldn't have been.
Yes.
Anything you can share along that lines?
Well, the main thing is, if you don't have a shelter, to go to the interior room of the house, preferably without windows, whether it be a closet, a bathroom, bathtub, something like that, that can semi-protect you. Good idea would be to have a helmet, whether it be a football helmet, mm-hmm. bicycle helmet, something to protect your head, blankets around you, or if you even have a mattress that you can put around you to keep flying debris from creating damage. But in experience, we've seen two-by-fours go through outside walls like it was not even there, and penetrate quite deeply into the house. So,
and if it'll go through a house, it'll certainly go through you.
Yes, severe bodily damage. Yes,
indeed. Well, very good. Let's move on. We talked a little bit about the flooding situation, and of course, in the past, gosh, it's just really been in the past 3 weeks or so when we've kind of come off of really the flood warnings and stuff. When a flood watch or a warning is issued, what should people do when they hear that?
Flood watches are normally set up knowing that we're going to have a rain event with heavy rains involved in it, normally creating a possible flooding situation. You get into flooding, that is a slow rise of water. It can be river water, creek water, even street flooding, stuff like that, that can create flooding that may not be dangerous at that point, but it is rising, and you should be aware that you may have to evacuate if the waters continue to rise. When you get into a flash flood, that's an emergency situation where the water is running fast, that's going to rise quickly, and could be a problem for your safety if trying to leave or something like that in a vehicle or even on foot.
And what would you say to someone who says, well, I've got a four-wheel drive, and it's a little bit lifted up, and it sits a little higher. I can just drive right through that with no problem.
You can probably think that, but you don't know what's underneath right. that water. The road may be gone, so driving through water is highly not recommended, because you don't know if the surface is still there.
And also, and I know this has been a problem in the past, if you get caught driving around barricades, you're going to face some fines and some other problems with law enforcement.
Law enforcement is not happy when you go around the barricades, and you know, it's even if the water looks, you know, calm, you don't know what the dips in the road, so you may just drive through it, and then all of a sudden your vehicle's flooded out and you're stuck in the middle of water, and somebody's gonna have to come out and get you.
And really, that's it, because not only then have you put yourself and your in danger, or maybe whoever's in the car with you or whatever, now you've got law enforcement out, you've got you guys out, the emergency management guys out, you've got the folks that have the boats and the training, and So now you've got a whole bunch of people at risk, all because you wanted to say 3 or 4 minutes.
You're risking responders' lives just to get you out of the water because mm-hmm. you've made a mistake.
Yeah, a big one. And I know it's cliche, but you hear it all the time: turn around, don't drown. That's the big push, and it's easy to remember. But sometimes you're just like, oh, I got to turn around and go the other way now.
Exactly.
And there it is. Okay. Well, we're talking with the Daviess County Emergency Management Directors, Mr. Scott Myers and Mr. Paul Goss. And we're talking about being prepared for severe weather. And, of course, we're no stranger to severe weather. I wouldn't say we're necessarily right in Tornado Alley, but we're kind of an annex of Tornado Alley. We have our share of severe weather through the area. And let's talk a little bit about the difference between a watch and a warning. You'd be really surprised how many people that I've talked to personally that they think they know the difference until you start asking them about it, and then they really don't have any clue what the difference between a watch and a warning is. How would you describe the difference?
A watch is normally set up to be the conditions are favorable for a severe weather event. It's a tornado watch, then that means severe weather of a tornado or strong winds, large hail. That type of event can occur, and the conditions are there for that. That means you just need to be watching for conditions, listening to news media, you're checking your Facebook, your social media, that mm-hmm. type of stuff, to see if there's online services that are putting information out for you. A warning is mean there's actually an event occurring that is coming into your area. You should take precautions and seek shelter. That's the main thing, is get more information and seek shelter.
While we're talking about the warnings, I want to roll this into a code red, because code red is really important, especially in Knox and Daviess County. Because, Paul, if I understand correctly, if you live in Knox or Daviess County, you can get this service for free.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a service that the two counties and two industries are paying for, and so the residents of both counties have no cost to sign up for the Code Red. And it is a system that will come in through various electronic medias to your house or your cell phone, and it gives you very, very defined areas that it will go off. So It may be a line that you would get at your house, and somebody three or four blocks from you would not get the same information.
So they really do have it down to almost street level warnings at this point.
It's pretty. They do it off of GIS and satellite findings. So it's pretty good. We've had where parts of the northern part of Washington City did not receive a warning, but the other parts did.
And it's a situation where how would someone go about finding this? You just search online and put Daviess County Code Red, or is there a specific website someone needs to go to?
We've got three locations where you can get it. Our Facebook page has a sign up button on it. You click it, it's a direct link over to the web page to sign up. Daviess.org is the Daviess County page. It has a link on it as well. And the City of Washington's page, washingtonin.us, has a link for Code Red as well.
And I'm assuming it's probably similar if you're listening in Knox County this morning.
It's a similar setup. Yeah. They just have different web links for it.
Did you have something you want to add there, Paul?
No, I think it's just imperative that we do sign up for some kind of warning, and that it is free. There's a lot of other warnings available out there that you can obtain from different sources, but Code Red really, really gets it right down to your neighborhood, and it will go off in the middle of the night, and it's an unusual sound, so it's different than your weather radios, which I'm sure we'll get to later, but it has just been marvelous, and it can also be used for things other than weather.
Right.
We have used it for broken water lines where we had to boil water, and we could run a polygon around Odin when they had a broken water line, and so people outside of Odin didn't get to notice, but people inside of Odin did. So there's a lot of, we can narrow it down to where if there's a shooting event, we can notify you that we can get it right down to the neighborhood and give you instructions on what kind of hazards are in your neighborhood, not just weather conditions.
And Scott, is this something that your office controls? Is this through law enforcement? Who actually has the button to send that information out?
Normally that's conducted by our office. The emergency management sends those.
So you have the button.
We don't send the weather signal. The weather comes directly from the weather service. And it is almost... Sometimes it's quicker than the radio.
Yes. I've been beaten several times waiting for something to happen and my phone's going off in my pocket.
It's so. Very, very good service. Now, the warnings of come out for boil orders and stuff like that come directly out of our office.
Okay.
The weather warnings come straight from the weather service, so it's much faster and it's 24 hours a day.
So it doesn't have to go through three steps to get to me. It's going to go right from them to me then.
Yes, and it's very quick.
And Paul, you brought up another good way to keep updated on things. And in fact, I hadn't even put it on my list, but I'm glad you brought it up. That's those little white square weather radios. Tell me about those.
Yes, those are weather radios that National Weather Service broadcast a signal out on the frequencies. They have six different frequencies. And so everywhere in the United States where they have a tower that they can broadcast through to the different areas. And so when they first came out, this radio station gave away a lot of those radios, and they weren't as sophisticated as the new ones. The new ones are right down to your location, and so you're not getting any information about it's flooding in Paoli or whatever else may be. It's very, very geographically specific. And the... They do work, and they do have batteries in them. They are available to local box stores, and they can give you information when you're not even thinking about anything being around. And you know, they could be set off even by the federal government. If there's a big situation, then they will broadcast on those radios.
We had a couple of tests last fall just doing that very thing with the radio station and pushing the big button, as it were, in Washington, D.C. So,
yeah, I would highly recommend those and smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors and weather radios are three things that you should have in every residence.
Very good.
It's very, very important to have multiple ways of receiving warnings, whether through your cell phone, through your weather radios, through television or radio media, whatever method you can. But you need to have multiple ways in case power goes out, you lose one, then right. You have battery backups.
Well, that, and you can, I know in our situation, we can double check what we're saying is accurate. If I'm hearing something here and hearing something different over there, well, then which one's accurate? So it's good for fact-checking as well.
It helps if you're traveling along the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, your cell phone goes off, you know you're in an area that's under a warning as well.
So. Indeed. Well, guys, I appreciate you taking the time to come in this morning. Believe it or not, we are just about out of time this morning. And, Paul, I'm going to let you wrap up. Anything you'd like to add before we let you guys go about your weekend?
Yes, I would like to say that we work in harmony with our county to the west, Knox County, and during the tornado that came through and actually hit this radio station, we were aware of it coming through, and we were listening to their radio frequencies on their emergency services. So we knew that they had been setting down over there, and we'd actually had predicted an hour before it actually hit where it was going to hit, and we were right on the money. And it might have been luck, or it might have been training, but just, be prepared and listen and don't ignore. Listen, don't depend on your tornado sirens, as they're called. They aren't as accurate and as dependable, and we're not sure what they mean when they do go off. Mm-hmm. Where if you have a electronic device, you'll be a lot better off.
Very good. And Scott, we'll give you the final word this morning. Anything you'd like to leave with folks as far as anything that we've talked about today?
On a note from Paul's statement there, talking about the outdoor warning sirens, they are meant for people being outdoors. You may not hear it indoors. So that's where your other media sources are more readily available and give you the information. When you hear the siren outside, that just means to go inside and start listening to more weather.
You know who hears it first in my house is the dog.
The dog, yes. Yes. The only other thing that I'd like to add on is just that if people have damage, to please report the damage so that we can forward that on to the weather service so that you may be protecting somebody down the line that there's a stronger storm coming.
If folks have questions or need some more information about anything that we've talked about or anything they may have questions about, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys there in the Emergency Management Agency?
You can contact my office at 812-254-5975. We're on Facebook as well. You can always send us a message through Facebook. That's a popular method anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, thanks for coming in this morning and being our guest on Focus on the Community this morning.
Thank you.
Focus on the Community has been sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You'll be able to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The General, 95.9 FM and 1580 a.m. You will also be able to listen to or download a copy of today's program or past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Andy Morrison, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at this time on Memories 107.9 FM and each Sunday morning at 95.9 FM and 1580 AM as we focus on the community.